strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 26th. I'm your host, Turn Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing good. It's my first time talking about Big Brother Canada 10 this season. I was supposed to talk about it a couple weeks ago, but I was traveling and tired. Nobody wants that in the morning. So now I'm here, peppy. I've been up since like 8, so... You know, I stayed up late for that late night lasagna and now I'm now I'm here.
Yes. I was also up late, but it was because I recorded a 3-hour Survivor podcast last night.
There you go. You're doing that. I was watching feeds and playing volleyball. So it was a eventful Friday all around.
There you go. There is also a lot to talk about here as we run through everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. It was day 28 in the house, and we had a lot of conversations, a lot of back and forth about, you know, not the nominations, but, you know, maybe who people would want to see leave between the nominations. Some talk about, you know, different relationships moving in different directions, some groups potentially forming. And all kinds of things, including some talk about the podcast. So yeah. We'll get to that as well here as we run through the day. As we know, Jess won the HOH, and last night or the night before day 27, they mentioned that they were looking to potentially put up Moose and Herman. That is going to continue throughout the day. That is not really going to change. But they're going to have a lot of conversations. And one of the conversations that we start with was Summer and Tanisha, who had also talked the day before about Herman and how they feel like Herman is kind of a liar and that they can't really trust him. They had mentioned that they were maybe looking to keep Moose over Herman, but it's not exactly a locked in thing. And this is, again, something that they're going to sort of go back and forth on through the day. But in the morning, they're talking a lot about not trusting Herman.
Yeah, and it seems like the root of some of the not trusting and the lies comes from when Josh was put up on Kyle's HOH, wondering whether or not Herman and Moose, either one of them or both of them, was involved in that decision, had pitched it. They know that it was at least partially Marty's idea, but they want to know, did Moose or Herman have a part in that? Because Herman is claiming that they didn't. And so they're trying to kind of figure out if he was lying there.
Yes. Yeah, it's that, you know, they also mentioned the, his attempt to get like a rogue vote cast and blame it on Kevin. Yes. And the fact that there were rogue votes cast, you know, the week before, and nobody owned up to one of them. And so a few things that, you know, make them skeptical of Herman in there. Jess is going to get to their conversations. They talk with Betty. They talk with Betty about how they really like Josh. People really feel like Betty and Josh are like a tight duo, or at least, that's what Kevin is saying to Jess. And Betty likes Josh, and Josh likes Betty, but they don't really talk much game. But people think they do because you assume people talk game. So again, you might as well be talking game. But so they talk a lot about liking Josh. They kind of let Betty know, like, Herman and Moose are who I'm looking at. Betty's like, really? Like Marty's not an option.
Yeah. There's some people. I think it's interesting that a lot of people have targets on Moose and Herman, and then there's a couple fringe people who are like are just trying to kind of like shoot across the bow at the singling out the one person that they're interested in, right? Like a couple people are gonna throw Betty out there. We'll get more to that, and it's like, hey, you have to think sometimes though, like, what about Jess specifically? Like, what is going to appeal to Jess in the wider sense? But I appreciate the attempt.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people...
It's not the farthest fetched thing. Like, Jess could put Marty up.
A lot of people are still trying to, a lot of people still think that Moose might be a secret super fan and is pretending that he hasn't seen any seasons. But Moose is going to really showcase his lack of game knowledge, lack of show knowledge, throughout the day, as he very much falls into the rookie mistake of just naming a ton of people, thinking that means anything. Like, just because you say a person's name doesn't mean that the HOH is going to go, you know what? I never thought about that. Like, it's worthless.
So there's been a couple people in this cast who have been suspected of being either better players or more super fans than they are. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a tip or advice for someone who truly is not a super fan and like how to be convincing of that without tanking your game, like without actually doing something that's like going to mess you up?
You can't, like Moose talks about it a lot. And I think the fact, like, I think the fact that Moose talks about it a lot and Moose is also like an active player who is like playing the game hard, like those two things mixing together, cause people just assume that Moose is lying about a lot of things. Like even a guy that knew Moose thought he was lying. And so I think that when it comes to Moose, like people are kind of assuming this is, but then there are other people. I think that there's like, I think that you can't be trying to convince people that you haven't seen the show. You have to show people that you haven't seen the show. And like in terms of what you're trying to do, either try to do nothing in terms of the perception that you're giving off, or just like keep your mouth shut about it. Like, don't really talk like, I watched some seasons, I haven't watched much, but I really love it. And, you know, I'm into it. Like, whatever it is, like, don't try to appear like you're anything, because people will start to be like, why are they trying to make me think this?
Yeah. It's kind of that, like, doth protest too much, right? The more you talk about it, the more you're like, hey, I'm clueless. Take me under your wing. It's like, no, you want someone to naturally want to take you under their wing because they think you're clueless, not because you're outright saying it or asking them about it.
Yeah. Cause like, ironically, the biggest fans of the show know best how to pretend they're not. If that makes sense, right? Because they know like what seasons they can pretend they've sort of heard of, and what players that they can pretend to be a fan of to make it seem like they're very, very casual. Whereas the casual fans would have no idea.
Yeah. If you wanna seem like maybe you're more of a casual fan, don't talk about anything other than like the most recent season or like really big name people or moves.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like if I was Moose, because not everyone is in Moose's position. I think there are plenty of people who can come on the show and act like they're not a fan at all, and they'll be completely believed because they just don't seem like they would be based on the kind of player they are, based on the kind of person they are. But Moose is not one of those people. Moose feels like one of those people that is in the diary room going, these fools think I don't know the show. And that's what everyone is afraid of. So I think if you're Moose and you really have to be trying to convince people that you're not a fan, I think what you said is correct. I think you just have to only ever reference the most recent season, but act like you feel like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because someone who's like trying to fit in with other people who are fans is going to kind of pretend that they know more than they do, or like kind of nod all along. I feel like it takes a very particular type of person to really admit when they're clueless about something. And so if you're going around doing that, people are going to be suspicious, because most people don't do that. I don't go to a football game and just like constantly be like, okay, what's happening? Tell me this, tell me that. When people cheer, I'm going to stand up and cheer and act like I know what's going on.
Yeah. And the problem is that Moose hasn't even seen the most recent season. Like, Moose doesn't even have that knowledge. So like, and this is the, like, we're like, I guess it's a completely fruitless answer here, because the real answer is watch some seasons. It will really help.
With some knowledge. Yeah.
And if you're a player that doesn't watch seasons, you're definitely not listening to this podcast. So
what are
we doing?
I don't know. I just, interesting thought experiment I was curious about, but sorry, continue.
So Jess talks. Jess basically says Marty's not an option for at least the initial renom, right? Or at least the initial nomination. Betty says between Moose and Herman, she would definitely vote to keep Herman. She doesn't really have much of a game relationship with him, but she does feel close to him personally, and she doesn't feel close to Moose in any way. She would want Moose to go. Jess asks Betty, you mentioned Marty, who else would you want to see go up on the block? And, you know, Betty being Betty is like, well, obviously Marty. Also, I'd love to see Gino and Jace. Throw them right up there.
And I think, okay, just want to say, love the fact that what's going to happen later in the night is that Betty, perfectly comfortable throwing people's names out, whatever. And I think some of it just has to do with personality. Like, I'm not saying Betty can get away with it. It's kind of more like once you're already seen as someone who's going to be a little bit more maybe comfortable with confrontation, then you kind of are in a position where it's like, who cares? If I'm against, Betty strikes me as someone who's like, if I'm against these people, then I don't mind if they know, I guess.
I mean, what did Betty say later in the day? Like, if there's
S, I'm going to step in it or something.
Yeah,
like that,
I'm going to stir it up or something. Like, Betty is just like, Betty is. The thing that I think is so fascinating and so entertaining about Betty is that most people, and this is why Betty is good casting in my opinion, most people in the world will shy away from conflict. That if there's any kind of conflict, unless it personally involves them in a way where they really feel like they need to defend themselves or they feel like you know, it's an existential threat of some sort, they're gonna be like, I'm gonna try and avoid this conflict. I don't want to be in conflict. Betty is almost the opposite of that, where it's like, could there be conflict here? Let's explore. Betty is very blunt. Betty will say what she thinks. And if Betty feels like there's any taste of something that you've done that she doesn't like, she's going to question you about it. It's good casting.
Yeah, it's great. It's so fascinating watching the live feeds. I've said this before on other podcasts, but growing up and watching shows like Big Brother and Survivor, I thought that they were faker than they are because I was like, if someone's out here like being, you know, confrontational, they must just be 100% doing it for the cameras, for show. There's no way people are really like that. And then when you watch live feeds, you're like, man, there's a lot of people in this world who act differently than me. And it's so interesting to watch, but very entertaining. Props to the casting team.
There you go. Jess is going to talk to Moose as well. Basically imply to him that he might be going up on the block. Saying, you know, you've said my name. The house kind of expects me to put you up. Moose's big thing throughout the day is, yes, I have said your name, but only in the sense that, like, you know, I've said that you're a big threat, like you're a big player in the game, but that's not a bad thing. I want to keep threats in the house. I want to keep big people in the house. They're shields. I'm a big player in the house. You should keep me as a shield. We can all be happy big threat shields together.
Which is a fine thing to say to the other big threat shields. I don't think it excuses but that's why I've put your name out there as you're a big threat. It's like, there's two conflicting sort of thought processes here. I feel like it's beginner gameplay to be like, who do I want out? Oh, no, I don't have any issues with anybody. There's no one I really want out. I mean, you know, Taryn's really, really smart and really good at competitions, but like, you know, that's just because, but you know, like, so am I. So it's fine. No, that's like beginner level strategy. Yeah. No one is going to fall for that. I mean, Moose might fall for that, but like no one else is going to fall for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin later in the day is going to call Moose what? Like a cute threat or acute something, because he really is just like he's learning how this game works. And most other people in this house have watched the show and they know the basics. Like, And but Moose is in this. Moose is almost like the like a Paul in this situation on Big Brother 18, where like he's very enthusiastic about playing the game, but right. he has no idea like just like the basics of how it works. And you know, genuinely, you know, Moose could be much better, just like Paul, and turned out to be much better than he initially was when he started, because Paul didn't even know how the veto worked. He was getting caught talking to both sides, telling lies all over the place. And he never really got too much better in 18, in my opinion. Comes back in 19, completely dominates the season. Like, I think Moose is absolutely the kind of player that could do that if he knew more about the game. But for right now, he's just making all kinds of rookie mistakes. And it's, you know, it's kind of cute.
Cute threat. At least that's something different. So let's see. Jess asks what Moose is thinking. Moose says they don't want to see Summer go, don't want to see Josh go. Josh is like a brother to him. Tries to put out there, like, if anyone tells you that I said I was going to target you this week, they're wrong. That's not the case. Even though I agree that you're also a competition threat.
Yeah. So Moose is realizing he's in some trouble here, and he's going to get moving through the day. We'll come back to him.
More talk of optics, with Jess saying, like, if the house is expecting me to put you up, yes. I need to.
Yes. It would look weird if I didn't put you up, considering the fact that you've been saying my name. Summer, Betty, Josh, and Tanisha are going to be talking about Moose and Hermann. They're both kind of shady. Moose has been acting like they're just numbers. He said something along the lines of like, hey, you know, the 7 is just, it was just like some numbers. We've got extra numbers that we can use here. And Hermann has also like been weirdly defending Moose lately, even though Moose said his name, and that's very weird. And they talk about how Hermann was hesitating to save Josh. And that was sketchy. Helena joins the conversation, and Betty asks, like, so who would we want to save between Hermann and Moose? Summer says, I don't want to decide until we have to. But my philosophy is, if somebody puts me up on the block, I'm going after them. That's it.
So some of these conversations during the day I thought were interesting, because there were people coming in and listening to the strategy that I didn't necessarily feel like were in those groups. I mean, it's still hard because it's still not 100% solidified, but do you feel like there are some pretty clear sides here? And if so, where do those people stand? Because it seems like I tried to like redraw a chart over and over and over, and I kept having to erase things and redraw lines, because it seems like so many people think that some people are with them who maybe aren't.
There are theoretical sides, but I don't think they're solidified. Obviously, there's this notion that Tanisha, Moose, and Hermann are a three-headed snake, and that Summer is with them, and that Betty is with them, and that Josh is kind of riding the middle there. And then on the other side, you've got Marty and Jace and Gino. You know, they now kind of theoretically have Jess and Kevin and Helena, but Helena has also got some connections on the other side. Obviously, Kevin does. And a lot of people move back and forth in between. There's something that that was not formed on the feeds, but that that we did, you know, touch on yesterday, because it was brought up, and it's been brought up a lot more here today on day 28. There's a alliance called the Siblings. Which is Jess, Summer, Tanisha, and Betty, and there's the Mandems, which is still theoretically there, which is the same thing, but just swap Jess out for Helena. And so, like, you have a lot of these existing like connections that either used to exist or you know, kind of exist now to a small degree. And those form lines over these two quote unquote sides. There are also a lot of people that don't want there to be sides, because that's, you know, dangerous, and they'd rather be able to continue to play the middle. And so you do have people like Helena walking in on this conversation, and they just keep talking because it's just Helena. Helena's not with Gino, Jace, and Marty, right? So, you know, they're fine with Helena. Helena's just kind of a, you know, somebody who they've got a loose connection to. You know, they still feel okay with Kevin, and, you know, all over the place, there are just too many interconnected lines to make it like a locked in two sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun to watch right now because of the fluidity, but, it's definitely sometimes hard to take notes on.
Hard to make charts of, for sure.
Yeah.
they do say that, they do briefly talk about how Kyle's thing when he was leaving about the secret power, definitely nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's obviously BS.
You know what? Again, I'm going to applaud the attempt. At least Kyle tried.
Yeah. Jess is also going to talk to Hermann. Jess is going to wonder who Hermann would like to keep safe. Hermann says Josh and Summer. He sees Marty as a threat, somebody that he would consider putting up on the block. Jess basically again implies like they're considering him for nomination. These initial conversations are a little bit less interesting than the follow-ups, mm-hmm. where we're going to get a little bit more drama, but Hermann now also has been kind of tipped off that he might be in some trouble.
Yeah. And, Jess is going to mention with both Hermann and Moose, like, you know, if I put you up though, like I'm doing the respect thing, I'm not going to backdoor you. I'd give you the chance to win, etc. So, you know, I don't know how much weight that truly holds with people, but, at least they give them that chance.
Mm-hmm. So, Jess is going to talk with Gino, and, they haven't really talked too much since Gino was HOH and obviously put Jess on the block. Gino comes in. He's like, look, I understand if you want to put me up. I get it. Hopefully you don't, but I get the why you would want to. And they're like, I don't want to, you don't, chill. And he rehashes the whole decision-making process last week. They're like, I get it. It's fine. They say that, look, your number one priority needs to be rebuilding with Marty. This is something they've told Marty as well. They really want the two of them to get along. Obviously, they have been doing that somewhat secretly already. So that's not an issue for him. They want him to play up that he's worried, though. He's worried that he might go up on the block. But don't worry. You're not going up on the block as an initial nominee or as a replacement, but you can't be too confident publicly about that. So, I want you to go out there being like, I'm getting backdoor. You know, I could easily go up as a replacement nominee. That's sort of the facade they want to put on. And then another thing that they're doing in this conversation and a couple of others is they really are like all in on Kevin, but mm-hmm. They want to be able to work with Kevin in a group, but they don't want to expose the fact that they are locked in with Kevin. And so they tell Gino, like, look, I need you to help me with Kevin. I need you to work on Kevin for me because I think you're closer to Kevin than I am. You know, I voted against him in week one and our relationship has been fine, but it's just like not fully there. So it would be great if you could help me with Kevin. And that made Gino feel better about Kevin. And Gino talked about how Kevin said he wanted a showman's in the game. And Jess was like, oh, he probably does. He's a big fan. And so, this is all very good stuff for Kevin and a pretty effective smokescreen for the Kevin and Jess relationship.
Yeah. This is a great small piece of strategy. If people, I mean, obviously you can't be saying this and then also be very publicly super buddy buddy with Kevin. So as long as you can keep your tightness with someone kind of hidden, this is like 101 in terms of, you know, the concept of like people feel close to you when they do a favor for you. So having, you know, telling Gino, like, I need your help. If you can do this favor for me in helping pull, you know, Kevin in, you're putting Gino in a position where Gino feels like the middleman. And that's great for Jess and Gino's relationship as well. So, great move. I like this here. And, also the act like you could potentially go up does seem to work, slightly at least. It seems like the guys think like, okay, well, you know, Jess is just targeting, you know, that the alpha male type. So Gino is probably on the table. So all of this goes over pretty well. I like that. And I do like the kind of giving the instructions to like go work with Marty, because even if you're not going to be in like a big, super solid alliance, you just want to minimize the number of people you're working with who are cutting off other people you could work with.
Yes. Yes. Very important. Something that a lot of people totally disregard in terms of alliance building. And it's super, super vital to make sure your allies are not targeting each other. And yes, I love the play. It's something that Cody did very well in 22, which is act as though you are ceding the middle position to somebody else in regard to a relationship. So, you know, make Danny feel like she's the go-between between you and Nicole, when secretly you and Nicole are the tightest and Danny is the third wheel, but Danny feels like she's in the center of it, which makes her very, very, very comfortable, and she shouldn't be, right?
That's, make someone that's feel always, like they're crucial when they're really kind of on a side quest that's already done.
Yes. Yeah. It not only protects you, but it keeps them feeling comfortable. They're going to, you know, not be looking out in the way that they need to. And that's, I mean, that's how, like, that's how these structures develop in a way that really benefits you to begin with, right? And that's why Kevin within this structure is very well positioned here, because he's in this in a very good spot.
Footnote, that is not a good strategy with relationships. Don't tell your significant other to go get close to one of your friends, because that's the classic rom-com how they get together. So,
oh no,
just a little side note.
Well, let's see here. Jess is going to talk with Kevin as well. And Jess lets Kevin know about the conversation with Gino. They say that Kevin should get in with Gino. They say what they said to Gino. So Kevin now knows that Gino feels good about the showman's thing and all of that, stuff. Kevin asks if they're taking Summer to Wendy's. They say yes. Kevin thinks that's a good call. His read on Summer is that she'd evict her own mother. So... he feels like Summer will go in and say like, I'm down to take out Herman or Moose. I'm good. So like, that should be a good conversation. I think this is very funny that Kevin says this, considering what we saw in, I believe, episode 2.
I would campaign against my own mother.
Ah, kindred spirits.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's trying to be like the whole, she voted out her own mother. Okay. I mean, when we get Big Brother Blood versus Water, we'll see if these people will actually do it. I don't know.
We'll see. So they talk about that. Jess says that they think the replacement would have to be Tanisha, but they really don't want to do that. They really don't want the veto to be used. They wonder what they should say to Tanisha, because they really don't know. He says it's very tough. Tanisha's so good. He does think that Summer has the best social game, but Tanisha has the best, like, game, which is, like, really, like, Kevin has been very spot on about a lot of things. The Tanisha thing is, like, his biggest blind spot. He really, really thinks that Tanisha, and granted, I think that it's not so far off in the sense that, like, Tanisha is very good at making connections to people and making them feel good about her. The issue is that, I think that a lot of people in the house think it's more sinister and game oriented than it actually is. She's very good at it because it's genuine, because she genuinely is just making bonds with people and isn't really gaming very hard. I think that's, you know, at least part of the misconception there with Tanisha. He says, I don't know, maybe ask her for advice. That could be a good play with Tanisha. He says, she'll leave the room and you'll feel like she has your back 100%. She's that good. But she doesn't though. And Jess says, I know. And I've been offered things in the past, implying about the siblings thing, here that there was a thing that was offered and that they've got the kind of a working relationship going on, there. So, you know, again, Jess is fully in here with Kevin. Obviously the sibling thing is kind of like a backup play. They really don't want to have to pull from that to replace in the situation of Moose and Herman. But it also makes a lot of sense why Tanisha's not touching the block if possible, because of this whole siblings thing.
Right. They're also going to talk about Josh a little bit. Jess talks about how, you know, it feels like everyone is kind of close with Josh, but it's not clear who Josh's real priorities are a lot of times. Jess has mentioned the last several days or weeks even about how feeling like they stand up for Josh, but that Josh doesn't really like reciprocate, or they don't, Jess doesn't feel like a on Josh's list. They speculate a little bit about a possible summer Tanisha Josh group, just really trying to nail down where he is, which I guess the truth is in the middle, kind of with everyone. And this is some of the danger to being that kind of middle person between the alliances, is just that sometimes it's good to know, so it's good to have an enemy or good to have a solid ally. You know, the pros and cons to every type of gameplay, but that is one of the dangers of being that kind of like good with everyone surface level kind of thing. I think that's how a lot of people go into the game thinking like, oh, I'll just be good with everyone and then I'm safe. Perfect. Doesn't always work.
Yeah, just as they feel good with Josh, but everybody feels good with Josh. Yeah. And they also talk about how like the work they put in with both Josh and Betty feels usurped by the relationship that they have with each other. You do have to be careful of that. They are talking about Josh a lot. You know, the thing is, though, like they're not targeting him. They probably won't for a while. Yeah. So, you know, even if this is the sort of thing where like people are talking about Josh, and people are talking about Summer to a degree as well, now that Kevin is kind of on to Summer. But, talking about a person and targeting a person are two very, very different things. And sometimes being talked about can be a good thing for your game, because if they're talking about Josh, it makes them feel like they're keeping him in check. But in reality, what are they actually doing? Nothing. And he's safe in the meantime.
And the other thing it can do is if everyone is talking about someone and sort of knows where that they you know, might be playing well, most people think, well, I don't need to take a shot at them because probably someone else will.
Yep. Yeah. So he tells Jess about how they remind him of a really good friend of his. He just feels very good about them. He tells a story about this friend of his. He says, you know, we're in an alliance, whether you want to call it one or not. Their alliance is called the Heart. Yes. And, they make a little heart with their hands. And he says, I don't want to promise final two yet, but I do feel the closest to you. They're like, why not final two? And he's like, you're the person I feel the best about in terms of that. I just don't want to, you know, overcommit. I don't know why he's playing coy here. I don't know if it's part of his sort of not like romantically flirtatious, but like strategically flirtatious kind of thing. Like he's trying to play hard to get a little bit.
Yeah.
Or if he's genuinely feels, because he has a final two with Helena, what this is in the diary room, is this is his Helena final two, and I believe he is most loyal to that, at least right now. And the implication here is that he doesn't want to, you know, I'm worried that maybe he feels like he doesn't want to Tyler himself, which we know Tyler screwed up by not Tylering himself.
It's not a thing.
But we'll see.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that Jess was the one more reluctant at one point to like even make it an alliance. And he's like, okay, I got to push for the alliance. Now I've made an alliance. And then now Jess is all in like, all right, cool. Final two. And he's, ooh, well, I mean, not yet. Like, we'll talk about it. Like, it worked too well. The Heart, it's cute.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. He did, as Jade mentions, mention this to Helena. And this is why I'm concerned that it's like he's worried about being disloyal here. But, we'll see where Kevin goes. He said he'd campaign against his mom. So I feel like he's probably not loyal to anyone, but, who knows?
Probably not.
Moose is going to talk with Josh. And he really wants to try and get like Betty or Helena, or he's later going to mention Kevin, like on the block, the non-gamers, the non-big threats. He wants to push the narrative that big targets should stay in the house and that Moose is a big target. He wants Josh to say that he's with Moose he's aligned with Moose, and that he would care if Moose goes up, because he's going to be asked, who do you want to protect? And he wants Josh to say Moose. And he's going to be telling a lot of different people like what they should be saying in their conversations with Jess.
You know, it's hard because Jess has won two competitions, almost won another one. So I can see, like, logically how this argument could have weight of saying, like, we need to keep the big targets, the physical threats around, etc. But I just feel like Moose is not looking at the house and thinking about who Jess feels like is working with them and good for their game.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't think, I'm not sure what the pitch needed to be or needs to be to keep Moose off the block here. But I almost feel like if you know that you're in someone's potential top three picks of going up, better to be the front door than the back door. So you might as well go up first. But I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's sad to see when people are like, you can't come at it thinking about what is the best thing for me? How do I convince someone else to do the best thing that's for me? You need to think about, like, what is a thing that's still good for this person that can benefit me?
Yeah. I mean, this is part of what makes Big Brother so interesting, right? Is that Moose comes in, again, very little knowledge of the game, and he's got like a Dunning-Kruger effect going on where he feels like he knows what he's doing because of like some sort of like rookie mistake assumptions that he hasn't seen fail over and over. And so he's like, what I'm going to do, this is brilliant, I'm going to talk to people before they talk to Jess. I'm going to get them to coordinate what I want them to say. It's like, it's almost like an Anthony mastermind plan, right?
Except
it's not. Like, he doesn't know how to tell them, what to say. He doesn't know what they should be saying. And none of it's really going to work, and it's all going to make things worse for him. But the interesting thing about Big Brother is that in a way that might almost come back around. And because he's making so many mistakes and, pissing people off, might encourage people to keep him around over. Yes. Herman, who is not making those mistakes.
Right. Like,
No.
It's not an intentional strategy. And not everything that Moose is doing, like, always fails. Like, this can work. You know, talking to people beforehand, etc. But the thing is, you need to have already established both the relationships with those people and with the HOH ahead of time. You don't have to be, in your mind, actually close with the HOH, but you need to have a working relationship with them where you're not their one of their clear targets to begin with. So it's a tricky spot to be in when you don't really know the game and don't know 100% what you're doing. But the biggest fault I see a lot of people doing is they come up with something that they want to happen, even though they're not realizing how unrealistic that thing is given the circumstance. And then they get upset when it doesn't work. And they try to turn around being like, you know, but why aren't you doing the thing I want? Here are some reasons why it could possibly be beneficial to you, but not seeing, like, you're trying to force a situation that was never going to work out in the first place.
Yeah. So Moose is also going to talk to Tanisha, give her a similar pitch. She wants Tanisha to tell Jess that he's a big threat in the game, which means he's a shield. And Tanisha is going to go and talk to Jess, and she is going to say that Moose is a big target and big threat in the game, and that means he is a shield. She does say that she wouldn't lose sleep if he left, but she does basically give Moose's pitch here, which is, again, like, it's wild that, like, unfortunately for Tanisha, by using Moose's script here, she is playing right into what everybody believes about her, which is that she's going to try to be subtly manipulating people into doing what she wants, and that she's secretly really close with Moose and Herman. You know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's a hard spot for Tanisha, and unfortunately, it's the spot that some people get in when they're just kind of a naturally good social person. And we see this a lot on reality TV. It's just sometimes people kind of get screwed by other people's perception. And there's small things Tanisha could be doing to change this. But I think the main thing that what would need to help is Tanisha needs to know that this is what people are thinking. And that's not really, no one's getting that back to her at this point.
Mm-hmm. So Tanisha does play up the sibling alliance to Jess, says, hey, we're working together. Nobody knows it. Jess, and again, like, bonds with Jess. Jess ends up crying, saying, I value you so much in this game. We really relate. Like, we're both missing our partners so much. And I understand that we're both having to deal with the same thing where we have to compartmentalize. And that made me think too about the veto and how, Tanisha didn't take the letter. And like I said, I really respected that when I was watching the episode. I think that's probably also contributed to the idea that, like, okay, she's here to play. Like, she's a gamer. But so Jess says, like, I think we can relate being gamers and having to compartmentalize. I value you so much, and nobody thinks we have anything, and they hug, and they talk some more. I don't know if this conversation felt very heavy. It felt very, exactly what Kevin said it would be. Like, she'll leave that room and you'll feel like you're with her. And Jess said, don't worry. Like, I know that I'm not, and that she will have to be the replacement nominee. But, you get the sense that Jess really, really, really would prefer to not have to put Tanisha on the block. And if presented with the situation where she would have to put somebody on the block, it is possible that this conversation and their relationship in general could make Jess hesitate to actually do it and maybe consider another option.
Another thing in this conversation that probably doesn't help Tanisha a lot with the image was that when asked about who Tanisha is not super close with, does bring up Marty as well, which is the same thing Herman did. So just another thing tying them together.
Yes. So Jess is going to connect with Helena. The conversations are going to start to get shorter as they're starting to be pressed for time. But basically, Helena lets Jess know that she's heard Moose is talking about keeping bigger players as shields, which is exactly what Tanisha just said to her. Jess said, people are trying to pitch you, but don't worry, like, we're cool. Jess is going to talk with Jace very quick and say the conversation with Gino went well. And they say the same thing to Jace about, can you please help me with Kevin? I know you have a better relationship with him than I do. And then
Jace is also going to spill the Moose pitch as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it by now.
Everybody knows.
Jess is going to talk with Kevin. He asks how the conversation with Summer went. They say it went well and that Summer said she was willing to cut anyone. So exactly what Kevin thought it would be. And Kevin is going to keep working on the relationship with Summer. The biggest issue I have with the and this sometimes happens, but like, I'm annoyed that we didn't see the Summer conversation and that we're only going to get an edited version of it. It's very annoying to me.
Annoying. I think it's funny that just like throughout the day, it kind of felt to me like Jess is having all these conversations with people, you know, trying to find like strategic information out about different groups, who people would put up, talking with, you know, the potential nominations. And then it's like every time they circle back with Kevin, it's kind of like this breather of like, okay, here's what I found, like this debrief, like, okay, we know what's really happening. We have the full picture. Like, that's sort of the sense I have, is that the two of them feel like they're working a lot more in tandem than, not that Jess doesn't have, you know, also strategic talks with other people in the same way, but it feels like this is kind of the touching point that breaks up all the other conversations.
Yes, very much so. Their dynamic is very funny too. They're definitely interesting to watch. And Kevin recognizes how much sway he has here. Again, I mentioned this yesterday, but the conversation he had with Helena at the end of day 27, when he's like, I've got Jess. He was like, it's kind of sickening. He I think he feels bad about it, but he knows he has a lot of influence here. And she said to him as well, like, I've put all of my, I believe she did course correct. I put all my eggs in your basket, here for Kevin. No more marbles, but. You know, it's definitely, it's their relationship here. He is doing an incredible job of of directing her or directing them this week as the HOH.
Marbles would be annoying to pick up if they spilled everywhere, though. So, like, I mean, I think it still kind of stands. It's not as drastic as putting all your eggs in someone's basket.
Are what's more difficult to clean up if they spill everywhere, marbles or eggs?
Well, I think that eggs are gone. Yeah, that's unusable. But like maybe as like a step along the way, it's like first I'll put all my marbles in your basket, and if that works out, then I'll put my eggs in your basket.
Okay. Josh is going to talk with Summer. They're talking about again more about the like Hermann and Moose, how they're both lying a lot. Hermann is lying about his connection to the guys most recently, and how they were under the assumption that this four person thing that started with Moose, Gino, Kyle, and Marty. Then became a thing with Hermann instead of Moose, and Hermann's kind of trying to deny that he was involved and that he knew about the Josh thing, and all of this stuff is still popping up. Summer says she is torn between him and Hermann, Moose and Hermann, who she would want to keep. She thinks maybe she would ultimately choose to keep Hermann, but, it's still kind of, again, back and forth between the two of them, because now that Moose is running around, like that's kind of been a whole thing. This is obviously good news for Hermann, that he's got Betty, and he's got probably, although he's kind of losing Josh through the day, but he's now kind of maybe got Summer in Tunisia. Hermann is not dead in the water here for sure by any means. But it's still, I would not say like, super locked in that anything is going to happen at this point. Summer does tell Josh that, he is her ride or die male in the game.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's fine. I think that does add the like asterisk of like, okay, but like, is it all the non-males and then me? Is it, you know? Maybe that's like a marble in the basket thing. Maybe that's a step along the way. Maybe it could change.
Yeah, basically, like, there are theoretically five people ahead of you.
Theoretically.
You're my ride or die. You're my ride or die number six.
Would it be better to say, like, you're my favorite guy in the game? Is that better? Because then that says, like, you're the top of this list.
I think mentioning guy. I think mentioning guy at all implies that that the women are your priority. Yeah.
What if I was like, oh, you're like one of my favorite people?
Yeah.
Why not just say ride or die? Like, are they going to hold it to you?
I mean, this is one of the things about Summer, and I think that she's so good that she often gets away with it, but she does have this thing that is kind of been a sticking point for some people. She's just a little too honest at times. So like she implies that she's throwing competitions to people like Hermann. Hermann doesn't like that. She says there's an expiry date on the Honey Bunch. Like Jace and Josh don't like that. She says, you're my ride or die guy, and it's like, okay, so I'm not your ride or die, but thanks. Like, I think that her social game is so good that she gets away with it, and I do think there's an advantage to being honest like this at times, because if she ever decides that she needs a good lie to sell, people will probably believe it because of how honest she's been in the past. True. It can lead to some awkward situations at times.
Little bit.
So Josh is going to talk to Gino. He really wants to get to the bottom of this whole thing. He asks Gino about that four person thing. Gino says, yes, Moose was in it, but then Moose was being weird, so we wanted Hermann. And Josh is like, oh, Hermann's saying like he wasn't really a part of it. And Gino's like, whoa, really? Like, I don't respect him trying to deny involvement here. Like, he was absolutely a part of it. Josh, remember day 27 when he talked to Jess, was very much pushing for Moose to go over Hermann. He was also kind of doing that through the day, yesterday, day 28. But over the course of the day, when he's learning more about some of Hermann's shadiness, he's starting to feel like, maybe I'm pushing for something that's not even that valuable to me. And it seems like he starts to back off.
Yeah. A little bit, and Gino is also going to mention that Moose he believes would win more competitions. But Gino's one of the people kind of like, maybe though that my preference would be like if Tanisha went, since she's the head of the dragon, which I haven't heard before.
Dragon snake. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be cooler to be the head of the dragon.
I guess so. But that implies that, like, what does that make Moose and Hermann? Like the wings?
Oh, yeah. That would be good. Wings. I was going to say the legs, but sure. Yeah, wings is good.
Jess is going to talk to Moose and let him know that he is, in fact, going up on the block. And Moose is like, what? Really? Like, why would you do that? Come on. I'm a big target. I'm a big shield.
My pitch didn't work. Oh, my plans for everyone else's pitches didn't work.
Yeah. What's up with that? Why not? I mean, what about like Betty and like Kevin? Like, why won't you put those two up on the block? I don't think they're going to have your backs. They're not big targets. They're not useful to you in this game.
So funny. I'm sorry. In retrospect, this conversation is even funnier. So.
It is. It's such a stark contrast, because Jess is going to also talk to Hermann and let Hermann know that he's going on the block. And Jess is actively trying to get, like, Jess is like, oh, well, Moose just sunk himself with me. I wonder if Hermann will sink himself.
Yeah,
like, Hermann, who would you want up instead of you? And Hermann's like, I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah, I could tell you that. You're going to weaponize that. I'm not going to give you that fuel.
Jess didn't even ask Moose, and Moose was just like throwing names out. And Hermann's going to spend the rest of the day like, Jess thought I was an idiot thinking that I would throw names out.
Which, like, yes, it's transparent, but that's not like a fault on Jess for attempting to see if you'll blow your own game up. Like, you know, it's, I mean, it literally just worked in the previous conversation, so you might as well try. It's really good. And because of this, because of Hermann going around to everyone after this, like every other conversation I have is like Hermann tells another person about what happened with Jess. And because of this, information eventually gets back to Moose, who's like, oh, snap. I did that, though. I did it. Oh, no. And so now Moose is like, crap, I got to go talk to Kevin. Tell Kevin that, hey, Kevin, I may have put your name out there, but it's just because like I need it. You know, I just said like, oh, you should work with the threats and stuff. And, you know, and you and Betty haven't won competitions and stuff. And Moose is like, I got to go talk to Betty. Got to go talk to Betty. Oh, too late. Just missed your boat.
Too late, because Jess tells Betty, Moose said your name. He pitched for you to go up. And Betty is not pleased.
This is business B. Let's get it.
Uh-oh.
No. Betty's not pleased. As we mentioned, Betty does not shy away from a confrontation. And a couple points here, I think, seem to stick most with Betty. Number one, Moose said her name. Number two, Moose said her name under the context of being someone who hasn't won any competitions, which, of course, Betty's like, lots of people haven't won competitions. Why me? This is unnecessary. And then the third point that Betty's upset with is that Moose is said that she was floating through the game. And Betty's not necessarily mad that he said that she was floating, more mad that, like, why would that be a bad thing? We're only halfway through the game. Everybody should be doing this. Why are you guys all playing so hard? What are you doing? I just really thought it was funny.
She goes to Moose and she says, that was so rude, Moose. How dare you? You need to keep so my name out of your mouth. I can't believe you brought my name up to Jess. That is so rude.
Yeah. And Moose keeps being like, well, can we go have a conversation? But I don't want to have a conversation.
I don't want to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to you. And it's so awkward because Moose is just like sitting there, probably thinking like, okay, what can I say? How can I help this? How can I just sitting there while Betty is just every two seconds. It's like Betty's like filling up her water. And then every couple seconds, like, I don't want to talk to you. Couple seconds later, you know what? Actually, I thought of another thing. That's so rude. How dare you say that I was floating? It's only week five.
We really did have another
where's Moose
moment here. Yeah. Like Moose is always being confronted in the kitchen about things.
Yeah, yeah. Summer and I think Josh were the two people who were standing in the background during this, and Summer's face also during this whole conversation is just like, oh, oh no.
And then her mom, of course, afterward is like, that's why I didn't name any names to her. Look at me.
Yeah. It's not good. Summer's like, I was so confused. We were talking about farting, and then Betty comes in being like, why'd you say my name?
Yeah. So that's going on. And as you said, Hermann is running around telling everybody that Jess was trying to fish. And I don't think that this is as helpful to Hermann as he probably thinks it is, because it is kind of proving to the house that like Hermann is a lot better at this than Moose.
Yeah. Like, it's fine that Moose messed up, but just don't be like, see, look, I was smart and I did the thing. And I saw it. I saw it right there that Jess was trying to trap me. Ha. Huh.
Yeah.
It's fine. Not that I'm acting like Hermann was saying it with like a swagger. He wasn't, but that's my interpretation. It was funny. But Betty's like, you know what? I went straight to the source. I was taught that's what you do. No more he said, she said. You go straight to the source.
Yes. And Moose, by the way, is saying like, I didn't say you were a floater. I just said you didn't win comps. Like, like this is a miscommunication. And Kevin really wants to, later in the night, really wants to convince Moose to hold a house meeting to clear everything up. Because Kevin is a fan.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, we should do this. I think Kevin literally says, like, it'd be entertaining. we should try to get him to do this. It'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. It's good times. I like this. It's going to be mentioned. Jess and Betty are going to talk again, and they talk about like maybe tomorrow or sometime we can have like a conversation with the three of us, me mediating and get clear up what was said or wasn't. But honestly, I don't think even if Moose, you know, eventually convinces Betty that he didn't say that she was a floater, I think the damage has already been done.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at this point.
I also, there was a conversation between Jace and Josh, earlier in the day, just quickly that they, you know, again, touching base, sort of, talking about working together. You know, we're working with Marty, but we can't tell him anything. They agree they want to win the veto, keep the noms the same, and they would really like for Moose and Hermann to stay on the block because they would love to see them campaign against each other. What kind of stuff comes out from that? So that relationship continues to develop, and you know, the Josh, Gino, Jace kind of thing is continuing to move forward.
Yeah.
So
sorry, this is not important, but I thought funny. Subplot. I like subplots in the day. While throughout all of this, while Jess is holding all of these individual meetings with everybody, like three separate times, Helena comes in being like, "Oh, can I listen to some music?" And just keeps having to leave because I guess the music can't leave the HOH room. So I just thought that was cute that it just kept happening. Like, oh, poor Helena. But also, like, it's the day before noms, or it's the day of noms. Stop trying to cut in. It's not gonna happen.
Yes. Well, Jess is going to talk with Marty briefly. Marty asks who the target would be between Moose or Hermann, or who the target would be in general. Jess says Moose or Hermann need to leave, one of them for sure. They also say that they love Josh, but they don't feel like they're his priority. Yep. And Marty is going to agree with that sentiment that the Josh Marty connection hasn't really been fostered lately. And Marty's starting to feel the same way. They're also going to talk a little bit later. We can come to sort of consolidate here after the nominations. They talk about the target again. Marty thinks maybe Moose should be the target because he's better at comps, but Jess says, well, people are mad at Moose, so I think he should probably stay. Marty also mentions that he really wants to win HOH next week because Jess got a message from the PAX Bros, which means next week the message is from Kevin Martin.
Yeah. And so Marty really wants that. I thought it's also funny. Marty's like, yeah, you know, I want the message from Kevin Martin, you know, like, and like a letter from home and stuff, but like mostly that Kevin Martin thing. Jess is also going to tell Marty to try and patch things up with Gino. Same thing they told Gino earlier. And Marty's like, yeah, you know, I'm just waiting for him to come to me, but yeah, I think we can fix it. So it'll be fine. They all exchange that they don't think of the three of them, any of them would put each other up. So good on that.
Yes. Kevin does have his talk with Gino and more again, just like sort of laying groundwork conversation. Kevin is pushing a lot of people for, you know, some kind of group. Again, love that for Kevin. This group is great for him. If he can lock it in this week, that would be huge. He's encouraging them to team up into some kind of group. Gino is down for it. He says they should sit down with Jace at some point and discuss. Kevin says, awesome. The work is being put in.
Yep. I for one would be really happy for something to get solidified just so that I can mentally know what's going on with everyone. I mean, I say that now, but then like in, you know, a week, I'm going to be like, oh, I wish everything was more fluid again. Why is everyone all packed up? So whatever.
So Moose and Herman are going to be nominated finally.
Drama.
Yes. Jess does not like how they acted during the nomination ceremony. I guess they acted up a little bit. Herman was like, being disrespectful. Herman, I think, did like a what? Like a fake shock kind of thing and like made a whole big show. And they were like, I thought that telling them ahead of time, they'd like respect that more. But I feel like it was worse.
Yeah. And so Jess is going to tell a bunch of people, Kevin, Betty, Helena and stuff, like, you know what? Like, I've been respecting them for 20 something days and I really shouldn't have been. I should have just, if they're going to act that way, whatever, like, you know, when you guys, if you're ever HOH, then just keep your plans to yourselves because otherwise the nominations are going to troll you.
Yeah. Summer does let them know that she will not use the veto if she wins it. Most people are looking to do something along those lines. A lot more people looking to potentially play and win this veto and then not use it than the weeks in the past. So if there is a week where the veto is not going to be used, it wouldn't surprise me if it's this week. I think they might have picked players for the veto already. I'm not sure if I've got the picks or if they have been picked yet, but that will be happening at some point if it hasn't happened already.
Is there anyone you think would use it to take one of them down?
No.
Yeah, well, okay. Although, I mean, you know,
they would
two of
take
them
themselves down, obviously.
Yeah, they have a good chance. Yeah, so, okay, interesting. Yeah, that's a fun scenario for the week, at least.
Yeah. So, let's see. Jess is going to talk with Kevin, later into the night. and they're just kind of chatting for a bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Kevin says, he says this.
Your stalk watch is up here right now. You're such an ass.
The stalk watch.
Yeah, yeah, they're talking about their standings, and Jess feels like they're low. Kevin says that Jess is probably in the top five, and I'm at the bottom. Kevin, stop being so self-deprecating. And Jess says, "I'm afraid that I'm disappointing Taryn Armstrong."
Yes, yes. Well, Jess says we're probably down with Kyle in the stock watch right now. Let's see here. Jess, in comparison to Kyle, Jess is worth $3.69. Kyle, on his way out the door, is worth $1.04. So, not that bad. Not that bad. Jess, though, not doing too well in the stock watch overall so far. This has definitely been a very good week for them. Kevin up there with $6.60. So that's pretty good. He might be in, let's see, he is worth the third most in the stock watch, but likely going to be worth at least the second most because Herman is above him, but Herman's about to take a big drop. So Kevin's doing pretty well.
Is this the first time the stock watch has been called out on the
I believe so.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Very meta.
Yeah, they talked about the website too. They were like, can you believe we're on the website? Like, what is life?
I know. It's cool. I like
it. And then as you said, Jess also says this, and this is very quiet, so I apologize if it's difficult to hear, but
I'm so terrified that Taryn's just ripping me apart.
Taryn doesn't really rip people.
I'm so worried that I'm disappointing Taryn.
most people are worried, you know, if they disappoint their parents or maybe their friends, their grandparents. Nah, Jess is worried about disappointing Taryn.
this is wild. First of all, don't be like, who am I? Like, right? Like,
although, okay, but,
I should not be the arbiter of who's disappointed. No,
but to be fair, you are the speaker to a lot of people. And so, like, you know, I think that you're pretty non-biased, but I mean, like, better to be on your good side than on your bad side.
That's a bad idea, because the more you talk about me, the more I have to be even more incredibly non-biased when speaking about you.
See, you can't look at this and give any little extra. They're just trying to get their stock up, trying to get some little extra points. Not going to work. Taryn's
a lot easier.
Taryn, you know, Taryn's going to be good about it. Taryn's a professional.
A lot easier for me to be a Summer stan when she doesn't talk about me. If Summer started talking about me, I'd be like, all right, now I gotta be careful about what I say about Summer too. but no, this is very funny. Somebody did mention as well that, I think both Ian and Claire talked about the Stockwatch as well.
So, oh, okay.
But maybe the first mention of the website.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. You know, it's very cool. It's very cool what you've done here.
It's a very funny moment. Don't go into the Big Brother house wanting to not disappoint me. I'm not worth it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, but like small steps, right? Like step one, don't disappoint Taryn. Step two, win the game.
Oh, man. I guess, you know, if I do an ex interview, if they make jury, I wonder if I'll be allowed to say, don't worry, you didn't disappoint
me. You didn't disappoint me. Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Oh, man. All right. So that was funny. Kevin's also going to talk with Josh about finally forming a group. As well. Yeah. So he's going to be pushing in that direction also. Doing well here, Kevin. I mean, lots of talk about forming these groups. The groups have not come together yet. But hopefully they will, in terms of at least Kevin's game here as he is pushing.
Yes. Yep. So a lot of good things here. There are some people who are saying that in the house that this was, you know, like, oh my gosh, we already had a Kyle HOH week. Now this is just Kyle round two, but, no surprise. It's the people on the block who feel that way. Mm.
Doom in the chat has the right idea. Don't shout me out in the house. Shout out Kellis. Kellis the kitten.
That's the way to Taryn's heart.
All right. So that was pretty much the day here. We are looking forward to the veto now. Moose is really hoping to win it, obviously. Herman is really hoping to win it. They both, I think, recognize that nobody's really going to use it on them. We'll see. If either of them win, Jess is going to have to make a renom, and that's not going to be great for their game if they put up Tanisha and then also Tanisha doesn't even leave. That would really be not great for them. If the noms stay the same, it could be a back and forth here between Herman and Moose, which one of them go. Herman being the more dangerous player overall, more connected, but that also means more people want him to stay, where Moose is more on an island and less strategically threatening, but perhaps more competitively threatening, or at least that's the perception. I mean, they've both won one competition. Although I guess Moose technically won that first HOA, like they both sort of, it was a door decided who won that one. So could go either way, but, you know, overall, I think, there are a lot of different ways this week could play out from this point forward, and, it could all be pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I found the, exact Betty quote from earlier. If there's S, I'm going to disturb it.
Boom.
Disturbing, no S.
All right. Well, that's about what we have. It looks like the feeds did just come back from, I imagine, the veto spin. but I don't know that we have the players yet, so we might not be able to give them to you now. But of course, I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds, including the veto spin and the veto results likely as well. So, so we will see what happens here today with the veto and how that is going to impact the rest of the week moving forward. And that's what we've got. Make sure you come and find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'm going to be streaming tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern about the Oscars. Melissa will join me. Lita will join me. We'll just talk about the movies and stuff like that. Tomorrow, playing some Goose Goose Duck with the crew over on Twitch. And then, of course, Monday, I'll be watching the Monday night episode live with all of you. We'll see those BB Can legends. And then after, we'll be having our recap podcast, talking about the Monday night episode here on Rob is a Podcast. As I said earlier, last night I recorded something like 3 hours with Shannon talking about Survivor. We did a Survivor Global and Survivor Stockwatch crossover episode. Shannon joined me for the Stockwatch, and we talked about the chizzy points, and we did all the Shannon stuff, and we did all the my stuff, and it was very long, and we got into all kinds of nerdy, intricate strategic discussions about all kinds of things. So if you're interested in that, check that out. And I have a Taryn show out right now with Peridium, which was also very fun. Make sure you listen to that. And that's pretty much what I've got for you. Mary, what are you up to?
Well, to our chagrin, Riverdale is back officially. So Kirsten McInnes and myself have released our season 6, episode 6 podcast yesterday on Kowski Cast. So feel free to check that out. That's Cow with a K. Otherwise, if you missed it, Asia and I covered Love is Blind season 2 on Rob's podcast. So you can check that out. And otherwise, I'll be tweeting about Big Brother and Survivor over at Frail Mary. So feel free to look that up.
There we go. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.